give him the glory that he deserves? Can we give that to him? Give all the glory and all the honor to our God. Amen. Amen. Listen, don't get me in trouble with the Lord. They said, you give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to God what belongs to God, but don't you dare give to Caesar what belongs to God. Amen? That's not even... Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was good. Somebody write that down for me. Listen, I am going... Oh, thank you so much, worship team. Thank you so much. Oh, real quick about the worship team, because I love them. And I'm one of those people that I don't need the worship team to get me there because I brought the Holy Spirit with me, right? And so when they were singing about God is enough, and then Tim was like, you're more than enough, and I'm just like, we can't even fathom just how much he is, how much enough he is. I know that's not grammatically correct, but you know what? I'm not here to impress anybody. I just know that the God that I serve, the God that I love, is way more than I can ever think, imagine. He is so amazing, and I love him with everything that I have. That was just for me. That wasn't for you all. I'm just putting it out in the atmosphere because I know that there was some demonic activity that came through these doors that wanted this message not to happen. So I love it when demons start to tremble. That makes me happy because that makes them know that they are trespassing. And so I'm speaking to any demonic activity, either here in this room or here who's watching, who's just being nosy. I am speaking against that today, and I'm saying, Jesus, have your way in your place, in your home, and in your church, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have the amazing privilege of being married to our smoking hot pastor. That's probably not biblical to say that, but he likes it, so, you know, I do. I honor my husband, and I honor my pastor. He told me to say my name. My name is Pamela Ballinger, his wife. So he gave me this amazing, just a little bit of encouragement that he gave me before I came up here. Actually, it was yesterday that he said it. He said, baby, when you preach that message, he goes, do it as if you're worshiping the Lord. And when he said that to me, that took off so much pressure. Because do you know that preaching in a series after my husband, first of all, I'm not insecure, believe that. But preaching after my husband is like calling a staff meeting after the rapture has happened, right? It just doesn't make any sense. But you know what? We're one and we're going to do it together, amen? So this whole series, this whole talk about release, are y'all ready to go for a journey with me? Y'all, okay, all right. All right, and you can talk to me, because you talk when you're on a journey with somebody. If we're doing life with each other, we're talking as we're going. So this started probably about 4, 5, 6 months ago, the beginning of the year. And you know how you think you've reached a point with God, and then God shows you, yeah, I'm going to take you to another level, right? So forgiveness, that's my platform. That's what I do. That's who I am. I walk in freedom, right? Until God shines a flashlight where I haven't been so forgiving. Okay, so I'm just going to share that with you all. So I did not realize that what God was doing in my life, what he was shining in my life. Because sometimes when you're in the midst of something, when you are in a dark place, when you are, let me come over here because y'all are quiet. When you are in the place that you feel like that there's no way of getting out, and then God shines a light, and he was like, here, this is what I need you to do. I need you to follow me. This is what I need you to do. So I had this point in my life where I'm like, I love people. I love you deep. I love you like Mariana's Trench deep. But you know what? It's kind of hard explaining love to people who have been in survival mode. Not everybody understands what love is. Not everybody had a mom and a dad and a picket fence and a dog named Rufus. You know, not everybody had that. Some people had to fight for it. They were in a survival mode. They had to take what they could get. even if it's, I'm going to be raw with you all, even if it's just meeting with somebody for one night just to show me some love, because that's what I think love is. Because I haven't experienced it from my father. Sometimes it's just like, okay, I know that you're abusing me. I know that you were beating up on me. I know I don't deserve it, but you know what? I'm tired of being alone and I'm tired of being single, so I'm going to take what you're going to give to me. That's survival mode love. What I want to talk to you all about is that a love that you can only get from our Father. And it's a love that you should be giving to one another. It's not a love that you keep for yourself because it's so precious. Because when you keep a gift from somebody, when you keep a gift from the Lord that he has given to you to re-gift, how many of y'all know about re-gifting? Some of y'all have gotten re-gifts from me. Don't lie. Sometimes when you get a re-gift from somebody and you think that they owe you because you gave them something that somebody had already given to you, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. So I was at this place where I felt like I love everybody. I really do. And how about when you get hurt? When somebody says something, when they're talking out the side of their neck, when they're saying something that's not true about you, when they're assassinating your character, when they're talking about you like you stole something, like you talked about their mama. I'm sorry, it's, you know, sometimes it comes out. But you have that and you feel like, what did I do? And you feel like curling up in the fetal position because I've helped you for so long. I've prayed for you. I continue to pray for you. And so you get to a point where it's like, okay, all right, I've taken this too much. I probably am just talking to myself. But you're like, okay, so you want to be like that? Bet, I got you. I got something for you. You want to do me dirty? I have something for you. And so when you see that person, you see those people at family cookouts. When you see that person laying in the bed next to you. When you see that person at your dining room table. When you see that person in church Sunday after Sunday, you sit on one end of the auditorium while they're sitting on the other. When you see that person, something on the inside of you just goes, oh, I can't stand that person. But we're in the house of God. All right, if I'm talking to you, if this lines up, if this matches something about you, just breathe. Okay, good. I know that I'm not alone then. So I got to this place where I'm like, you know what? This is not of God. And I know I love people. I know for a fact that I was not letting the enemy use me. Because how many of you know the enemy will use anybody? The enemy came on the backs of some people in here today. The enemy will use anybody. And so it got to a point where I'm like, that's not right. I should not feel this way when I see this person or when I hear this person's name. And I realized that I had to not just forgive, but I had to release. Pray with me. Father, be with us at this divine appointed time, Lord. May the words that I speak, may they be pleasing to you. May they be honoring to you. And Lord, may they glorify you. Lord, I pray that this message hits these people 300 different ways so each one can take a piece home with them. For those online, let it hit them in their living room. Let it hit them as they're watching it later on in the week, Lord. Let your word flow through me, Lord. Let me decrease while you increase. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I got to this point where I needed to release. And I'm like, how do you know? You know there's a difference between forgiving somebody and releasing them. There's a difference between forgiving somebody and cutting them off. What I want to convey to you all is don't cut someone off that you're just supposed to release. Because let me tell you what releasing means. Releasing means that I remember what God has done for me. I remember that God forgave me for all that craziness that I did in my life. And I thank God that Facebook wasn't around. If you want to see my dirt, you're probably going to have to look for a Betamax tape, okay? I'm so grateful that Facebook was not around then, right? And so when I remember what God had forgiven me of, the debt that he released me from, how dare I get mad when I hear somebody's name? How dare I get mad when my husband didn't say what I thought he should say? How dare I when I get mad at my kids because they're being a kid? Who am I? Don't get it twisted. I love myself because I know who I am in the Lord. I am a daughter of the Most High. But who am I to feel like somebody owes me something? So you see, God gave me this gift of forgiveness and this gift of releasing people. So why am I holding on to that gift? And so it took me to this place where I understood that when I release someone, it's showing that I'm healed. If I cut you off, it's because I'm angry and I'm not healed. Because you would think, okay, well, you did me wrong, so I'm just going to cut you off. I'm just not going to have anything to do with you. But that person is still a child of God. That person still needs your witness. That person still needs to see that you turned the other cheek. But no. Don't you understand? The Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus is like picking up the phone saying, new covenant, who's this? My plan is for you to love one another. My plan is for you to turn the other cheek. You don't keep track of what somebody has done to you. You don't keep track of wrongs. So I'm like, okay, so you know what? So I'm going to release this person. Can I tell you that when I started releasing this person, when I started releasing my husband, when I started releasing my kids, I was able to see them through God's eyes. And I was able to see that the persons who did me wrong, who did me dirty, I was able to see them as a broken child who needs love. Not survival love, the love of Christ. And it's so different when you see them in that aspect and you see them in that raw, in that tenderness. And the only way you can see them is by seeing them through God's eyes. And when I see that, my heart just breaks for people. And I'm like, you know what? I am going to be in a season of releasing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to release you. 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 Oh, hold up. Save your golf clap. Because God, he likes to hit me like in the back of my head, like right by the base of my wig. And God had to hit me and say, no, you are not in a season of release. You are in a lifestyle of release. This is not something that you just do for now. This is something that you continue to do all throughout your life. This is something that I have to make a conscious decision to walk in every single day to release. Now, see, if I'm going to cut you off, and if I'm going to be like, all right, fine, I'm going to cut you off, boo, I'm just going to sever the ties. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Okay, if I do that and I hurt my witness, I'm still a victim. Because every time I see you, I'm going to look at you funny. Every time I hear your name, I'm going to get that, ugh. Mm-mm. That's not how I can live my life. If I have released, that means I can receive what God has for me. Y'all with me? All right, if I can name this message, it's going to be called Release the Beast. Y'all with me? All right. I know Golden Corral is about to open up again. Just hold up. Just hold up. So I'm gonna read this scripture to you, and those of you all who take copious notes because you like to go back and study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man, I'm going to read one long scripture. I don't want to assume that everyone knows it. But if you have heard these scriptures before, I want you to see it in a different way. Amen? I'm going to read to you out of Mark 5. Okay? Mark 5, verse 1. New King James Version. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, Jesus, had come out the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Okay. So when we're saying there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, tombs are like graveyards. Tombs are where dead people, dead things live. This man was in a dead place. Almost sounds like he was quarantined. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even the chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains and guilt and shame and unworthiness. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles were broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, in the dead place, in the graveyard, in the darkness, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now, you would normally think that cutting yourself with stones would mean like you're trying to self-mutilate. I still have scars on my arm from when I was 12, 13, and 14, and I broke a soda can in half. And I just cut my arms because I just wanted to watch the blood. Because I was being sexually molested by my father. And that was my outlet. So you would think when you hear somebody cutting themselves that they're dealing with something. That pain makes them feel like they're alive. But can I tell you that there's something called like law of first mention when you're studying the Bible. And the first couple of times that you hear somebody cutting themselves with a rock is in Joshua 5:2. Different versions say flint knives, hard stone, knives of stone, knives from flint stones. And that was talking about circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of membership in the covenant community. Could it be possible that this person that was demon-possessed was trying to heal himself? Have you all ever been in a dark place when no one came to you? You see, Jesus came to this man. We're waiting for people to come to us. So have you ever been in that dark place where you were waiting for somebody to come to you and nobody came to you? Nobody noticed I haven't seen you in church. Nobody's noticed that I've seen you struggling. Nobody's noticed that you've lost weight and you're not even trying to diet. Nobody has noticed that the joy of the Lord is not on you. Have you ever been in that place where it's like, I can heal myself. I'm gonna just do it myself. Everybody's busy. I don't want to bother Pastor Len. He's busy. Pastor Len's the only one who can help me. Not true. He's trained people. But am I talking to myself? When you are in that dark place and it's like, I'm just going to do it myself. You know why? Because nobody would understand. Now, some of you all may wonder, why does she talk about her testimony so much? Because not everyone has been sexually molested by their father. Not everyone has. But everyone knows someone who has. And if you haven't, just live a little bit longer. And so I pray that what you see from me is that release, that healing that God gave to me that I was able to give to my father. And I said all that to say that if there was a pedophile who walked through these doors and needed prayer, I would be the first one to pray for him. Can I tell you why? Because when he was in the cave, when he was being tormented, when nobody noticed that he was always on his phone looking at kids or on his computer looking at kids and nobody said anything to him, who was he going to go to and say, I have a problem? See, I know what God released me from when I lived a lifestyle of promiscuity. I know what God released me from. Did y'all know that I was a murderer? Oh, it got real quiet in here. I was a murderer. I said that online. I was a murderer. I've killed so many people with my tongue. I have done a machine gun up and down and then blew my finger. I have murdered so many people. But God. So you see, I was in those tombs at one time. Because anybody who is apart from God, anyone who is apart from his Holy Spirit, anyone who is apart from having a relationship with him is in the tombs waiting for somebody to be like, there's somebody over here that needs to be saved. I know I'm not talking to myself. Y'all can act all saved if you want to. And so when this demoniac saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I'm sorry. This demoniac ran and worshiped Jesus. Somebody who was demon-possessed, who had more issues than Vogue, stopped what he was doing from going to and fro, stopped what he was doing from trying to cut himself, stopped what he was doing from yelling out, and ran and fell at his feet. Lord, don't let me get ahead of myself. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, this is demoniac, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Nobody talks about this in church, so I'll just talk about the pedophile who gets tormented. There's one on your block. There could be one living next door to you who needs somebody to reach out to them. I'm going to tell you, just because I drowned in 20 feet of water and that person is drowning in 50 doesn't mean my sin is any greater or any less. And so we need to stop putting levels on people's sins, on what they do, because I'm telling you, I was a murderer. Oh, I cut some people. And if you're here and if you're watching online and if I cut you at some point, if I killed you with my words, please forgive me. I have already asked God for forgiveness. I ask that you forgive me. I'm no better than anyone else. For he, Jesus, said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he, Jesus, asked him, what is your name? Did Jesus really say, what is your name? You know Jesus knew his name. And he answers saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Legion is not a name for a person. Legion is about 5,000 to 6,000 deep of soldiers, of darkness. And so he said, my name is Legion. So the way I took it as, my name is my identification, not my identity, how I identify myself. My name is between 5,000 to 6,000. I don't know if any of you all have ever been in a place where your name was a number. And you were treated like a prisoner, and you were locked up, and your identity was stripped away. So your identification became prisoner. Come on, people, am I talking to myself? Because I know that I have not been in a prison by myself. I know that when I've been a murderer and I had to be put in a place for God to deal with me, that I was not alone. So when he asked his name and he gave this identification of Legion, he could have given any other name. He could have said, my name is Alcoholic. My name is Druggie. My name is Adulterer. My name is Liar. My name is Thief. Insert any name that you want to do, and that's how people identify with themselves. Oh, you know that person. Oh, you know, the crackhead? They don't even call you by your name anymore. You know that person? Oh, the pastor's wife. Did I say that out loud? Let me continue. Also, verse 10, he begged him earnestly, he begged Jesus, that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, Jesus, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, which were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. This is the same sea that Jesus had just stilled a couple verses above and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. What had happened was, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion. He wasn't called legion anymore. The one who had been demon-possessed, the one who had the legion, the one who was the alcoholic, the one who was the hoe, the one who was the liar, the one who was the thief, the one who was the adulterer, the one who didn't believe in me, sitting and clothed in his right mind. I'm sorry, what does the next word say? And they were afraid. So let me get this right. So the people weren't afraid when he was demon-possessed. Oh, when you're stuck in your mess, I can talk about you. When you're stuck in your mess, oh, I can compare myself to you, and I could be like, oh, at least I'm not that bad. When you're stuck in your mess, and it gives me a reason to be able to talk about you, not talk to you about the one true living God, but talk about you, I'm comfortable when you're in your mess. You know why? Because at least I'm not as bad as you. How am I going to be pointing the finger at you? How am I going to point the finger at you when I got all these other fingers pointed back at me? They weren't scared of him then, but now that he's free. Babies, let me tell you, when you get free, the haters are going to come out the woodwork. Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? Oh, I went to school with him. Oh, he was a mess. Oh, he got around town. Oh, she got five kids by five different baby daddies. Oh, but look at her now. Who does she think she is? Oh, come on. Come on. What's that saying? You better sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. And those who saw it and told how it happened and told him who had been demon-possessed about the swine. Y'all better be careful eating all that pig. But anyway, look, I made y'all hungry. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed, the one who was cutting himself. So I can only imagine that he's coming into the boat with all his wounds, all his healed wounds, all his trophies of what Jesus has done for him. You see, when I look at my arms, you can still see them, even though it's been decades away, because I dug in deep. And I see where God has brought me from. Have you ever seen somebody who doesn't look like what they've been through? And you think that they're lying about their story? They are preaching, ministering the gospel, and like, no, that's Ray Ray that used to shoot dice. No, he hasn't changed. But who are we to judge? How do we know what someone's heart is? Can I tell you how we know what someone's heart is? When we remember what God has released us from, what he has forgiven us from, and we can look at them through God's eyes. Oh, yeah. I know what she was doing last week, but I know who she is today. Oh, I know what she was doing 10 years ago, but I know who she is today. And you want to know something? Can I just veer off for a second? Can we stop? I'm just going to talk to myself. Can we stop being so judgmental? Can I tell you that if somebody walked in here filthy and dirty, that doesn't mean that they're any different than anyone else's heart. If somebody came in with a short mini skirt and cleavage down to her navel, how many of us would be like, heifer, she's just trying to get my man. Who's going to go over to her and hug her? Because they don't know what she had to do to get into this church. Can we stop judging people by what they look like or what they have done? Can we look at what they're doing? Can we look at people and see the Jesus in them? Can we look at people and see someone who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Can we stop that? Come on, I'm just talking to me. I'm sorry. I'm just worshiping the Lord by myself, and y'all are just watching. Y'all are just with me. Can we stop judging? Listen, I don't care if you have two guys come in hopping and skipping and jumping. I don't care. You sit right down, and we're going to love you to life, and may God's words, may they penetrate your heart. It's not up to me to change you. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in. Nobody in this church has a heaven or hell to put anybody in. That's only God's domain. So we need to stop being so judgmental because of the way people look, because of the way they talk, or because of their past. Don't act brand new. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. He's talking to, let's give him a name. Let's call him Pam. Go home, Pam, to your friends. Go evangelize. Go tell them what I've done for you. Go tell them about my goodness, because see, they all saw you. They all knew you way back when. Go and tell them about who I am. Go and tell them about a man named Jesus, somebody that has loved you to life, somebody who has died for it, well, is going to die for you. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm a Bible scholar. Okay. And how he has had compassion on you, and he departed and he began to proclaim. So when he departed and he proclaimed, that is evangelizing. That's going and that's spreading the gospel. That's going and that's spreading the good news. I don't know about you all. It still sits with me how when you're in your mess, and people will see you sit in your mess, but they want you to be real with them. No, I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to be real. What happens when you are real with them, and what happens when you do tell them the truth? And they still continue in their mess, and they still continue in your sin. Oh, I know what you do. You cut them off. Oh, no, you don't cut them off. You release them so that God can do a perfect work in him, so that God can do what God wants to do. There's a difference between cutting off and releasing. Can I just give you just a little tip that worked for me? When I forgave my husband, when I released him, he didn't even know it. I didn't have to go to him and be like, oh, let me tell you, back in 1992, I didn't know him back then. Back in 1992, you did this to me and I forgive you. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because forgiveness only requires one person. Reconciliation requires two. I'm asking you, we're taking baby steps, forgive, release them. But it was like when I released my husband, I was releasing him from being who I think he should be. Am I the only wife? I was releasing him from expectations that I have on him that he doesn't even know about. He's off at the coffee guy having coffee trying to build a church with other church members and other pastors, and here I am holding an offense towards him. When I release my kids, I had to be specific. I release you from being what I want you to be. I release the expectations that I have of you. You are a son and you are a daughter of the Most High King. You see, my kids and I, we have the same father. And so when I release my kids, just like with the prodigal son, y'all think that that daddy said, oh, you want your inheritance now? Well, here, take it. Get out of here. That father knew that if I release him, God is going to do what he needs to do in his life. And my son and my daughter is going to come back to me. He had to release him. He had to release his children. Can I tell you the hardest person to release? It's yourself. Only you and God know. And sometimes you want to act like God hasn't seen. And if I could leave you with, I don't know, I'm leaving you with a lot of stuff. I just feel like somebody should go get a string because I know I'm dropping pearls in this session, right? Was that good, baby? When I am clothed in shame and guilt and unworthiness and my name is Legion. Legion is not my name. My name is not shame. My name is not guilt. My name is not unworthiness. You see, when I understand who he is in my life and what he has forgiven me of, I'm no longer that person. But it is so hard to forgive yourself because you're like, but I should have known better. But I should have done better. How did I do that? That was so stupid. If somebody else did it, I would say that's stupid. And I probably would forget that I did it. Is there anybody in here who has had a loved one pass away? And you feel guilty about it? You felt like if there's only something else I could have done? Or if there's only something else that I could have said? Am I the only one? How can I be who God has called me to be when I'm stuck in that place? You see, my mom passed away in 2009, December of 2009. And for years, part of me was living as if I had passed away with her. You know, like when you're holding on to the memory of someone, don't stop holding on to that memory, but stop reliving their death. Because it's like when they went 6 feet under, we went 6 feet under. God, I want more of you. I want what you have for me. But I'm still in the cemetery. I'm still amongst the tombstones. I'm still where dead things are. Now I know my mom is not there. I know that she's in heaven rejoicing with the Lord. And I know that anybody who has a family member that has passed on would not want you to stay stagnant in the present over something that happened in the past. Come on, people. Release that. Don't release the person. Don't release the memories. But release that piercing, stinging pain that you get when you think about them. Oh, death, where is your sting? I'm trying to help some people. I don't want you all to go through life for decades like I have. I want to help you. I want you to help me. I want us to help each other. We talk about being one. One doesn't mean one group over here, one group over there. That's not what one means. One church doesn't mean, oh, Jubilee over here and another church over here. I am talking to the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking to just one building. I'm talking to the church of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking to right now. I smell freedom in the room is what I do. That's what I smell. I'm sorry. I just got to tell y'all. I just smell some freedom in the room. I have notes here somewhere. But you know what? I'm just saying, we just gonna go with what we got. We have come out of a pandemic. I believe that 2020 is going to be like the new catchphrase. You know, like when you hear 9/11, you think of death and destruction and terrorism. And I think that 2020 is going to be the year of, oh, girl, you just 2020'd me. I think that we are going to come up and we're going to just use that term. We're just going to insert it in sentences. And it's going to have a negative connotation with it. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of 2020, God showed me. 2020 is not a year that I wish didn't happen. 2020 is a year that I grew. 2020 is a year that not only did I see God, but I saw you. I see you the way that he sees you. So you can call me out my name. I only care if my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all I really care about, you know? And I want heaven to be so overcrowded as possible. I want as many people to hear God's word, not just hear his word, but experience who he is. That's what I want. That's what I want. I pray that's what you all want as well. Do I have time? Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you this because this is important. And hear me through this, okay? Just tell your hunger pains to subside because this spiritual meat should be holding you over, okay? And if not, God will deal with me. I'm very accountable to God. When he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. There's something that I just want to read to you that I read to my husband. And there is a highly sought-after doctor in San Diego, California. And he has treated over 15,000 terminally ill cancer patients. Over 15,000. That's 15,000 individuals. Almost all of those patients had been sent home to die by their previous doctors, having been told that they just have months to live. They came to his doctor, with a desperate hope that he might be able to help them. The records show that after being treated by him, 54% of his patients have lived more than 5 years. And many have lived 10 or 15 more years. Some have died, but none of cancer. When questioned how he managed to achieve these miraculous results, the doctor replied that his first step was to have a conversation with the patient. And many were depressed. Some were angry with the world and God. Many were in great pain. Some were in wheelchairs, too weak to walk. So how do you think he started these conversations? 15,000 individuals with cancer. His question was, have you forgiven? The patients invariably would give him a strange look and ask, what does forgiveness have to do with my cancer? He explained that he treats the complete individual, and man consists of body, soul, and spirit. If the soul or spirit is sick, the body is bound to be sick as well. He continues by asking them, have you forgiven the friend that cheated on you, that stole money? Have you forgiven your spouse? Have you forgiven your children? Have you forgiven your parents who may not even still be alive? Did you have any trouble with your children, with your siblings because of an inheritance quarrel? Have you given yourself for some stupidity in your life? Have you forgiven yourself? You are only hurting yourself, even destroying yourself, if you have not forgiven. You are not hurting the other person. If you have not forgiven, you are locked up in a cage. You are locked up in a tomb. You are locked up in a cemetery. You are locked up in a dead place. This dead place is filled with hate, resentment, and feelings of revenge. There is only one door. When Jesus got off the boat, I can only imagine that Jesus was on the boat and he was like, oh, I am going to save someone today. I am going to release them. And with that miracle, they are going to be able to release others with the words of their testimony. This doctor, 54% of his patients live more than 5 years. Many live 10, 15, or more years. Some have died, but none of cancer. Y'all can come on. I said all that to say that please don't send emails and be like, so is she saying that if I have cancer, I'm going to be healed instantly? I'm saying that I know what a man named Jesus can do. And I know that when I have emptied myself of me and my pride and my ego, ego, acronym, E-G-O, edging God out, so I'm all about me. I know that thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know that when I have emptied myself of who I think I'm supposed to be, when I've emptied myself of what I think people think I should be, when I empty myself of what my mom said that I should be, not my mom, but I'm talking about you all, somebody. See, one of the things that I say when I deliver mail is I can't give you what I don't have. So I'm asking some of you all to release your mothers and your fathers because they couldn't give you what they didn't have. I'm asking you to release them so that you can move up into the things of God. I'm asking that you remind yourself of what God has done for you in your life, what he has forgiven you of. Some of you all have things that are so deep and so dark that you feel like you can't talk to anybody about that. And I feel like if we all had a sign over our head with what it is that we feel like God cannot forgive us with, we'd be like, oh, you too. Oh, you too. Oh, we can have a whole connect group of this. We are not alone. We are not alone. The enemy wants us to think that we're alone, but we're not alone. We are not alone. And when you shine the light on darkness and the truth comes out, the truth, Jesus Christ, he is there. He is there. Come on. Stop being judgmental, people. I wish somebody had told me to sit my fast behind down back in the day. I wish somebody loved me enough to tell me the truth instead of being worried about if they're going to hurt my feelings. Hurt my feelings. I'd rather you hurt my feelings than me swimming around in a lake of fire for all eternity. We are accountable for the people that are in our lives and our sphere of influence. We are accountable for that. May this message be like a life preserver for you. Here, come on in. Come on in. God doesn't want any of us to perish. I think, and my husband says this a lot, we're going to be surprised who's in heaven. And we're going to be surprised who's not. We have one place. There's one place that we will spend eternity. It's up to us to make that choice. Stand with me. Stand with me, please. Stand with me, please. Baby, I did not get through my notes at all. I did not get through my notes at all, but you want to know what? I had to release me so that you can see Jesus, so that you can hear Jesus. I had to release me. Jesus. Jesus is coming to you. Some of you all are waiting for a phone call. Some of you all are waiting for somebody to check on you. Somebody is waiting for somebody to notice you. Somebody's waiting for you to notice, I haven't been in church a couple of months. Can I tell you that right now, today, Jesus is coming to you? He's coming to you right where you are. He's coming right where you are, right in that dark place. He is coming to you. Stretch your hands to God, please. Stretch your hands to Him. Ha. Father, here I stand before you, vulnerable, transparent, God, releasing people, releasing my mother, releasing my father, releasing my siblings. God, releasing those who have hurt me, who have scandalized my name, who has talked about me, God. Jesus, you know what I'm talking about because you went through all of this for me. So I stand before you with lifted hands, empty. Lord, let me release. Let me release them. Lord, I need your help releasing them. It took me years to hold this grudge. God, I need you to help me release them. Lord, release the beast that has been in the cave for so long. Release the beast that has been in that dark place. I'm tired of crying by myself. I'm tired of all the tears on my pillow. God, help me release the beast that has been holding me hostage. If I have spoken to anyone here, if I have spoken to somebody who has not met this amazing man called Jesus, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. If you have not met him, you are more than welcome to come up. We will pray for you. If you have met him, but not to that extent, whereas you have released people, but you were specific. Like for me, I had to release my dad of taking my virginity. I had to release my dad of all the bruises that he put on me. I had to release my dad for every single type of abuse he had inflicted on me. I had to be specific. You know why I had to be specific? So that nothing's gonna come back up later. So that when I think about my dad, that sting is not there anymore. If I'm talking to you, come on down here for prayer. I'm talking to people who have not released their mother because she wasn't there for you, because she left you, because she wasn't a good enough mom in your eyes, but she couldn't give you what she didn't have. Baby, don't hold back. Do not miss your opportunity. Do not miss your opportunity. I'm talking to people who have been angry with their dad because they had to grow up trying to learn how to be a man when there was no man around. And their mom thought that there was their mother and their father. No, ladies, you're not the mom and the dad, you're the mother. Introduce your child to the father. Introduce your child to the one. I'm talking to some people who have been holding grudges, who have been holding hurts and pains that people have done to you. I'm calling you out. I'm asking you to leave it here at the altar. When you hear that person's name, I'm talking about your ex-wife. I'm talking about your ex-husband. I'm talking about your baby mama. Talking about your baby daddy. Every time you hear their name, they left me with these kids to raise them by myself. I'm talking to them. I'm talking to those kids who have left home in their heart because they didn't get what they felt like they should have. Release them, God. Release them, God. Release them, God. There is so much freedom in that forgiveness. God, today, way. I'm coming out of the tomb. Here I am. I'm in a position of prayer, of reverence. If a demon can recognize Jesus, we can recognize Jesus. Come on now. If there's anyone who needs prayer for anything else, if you need us to pray for you, if you need us to lay hands on you, if you need us to stand in agreement with you, I ask that you come to the altar now. Do not let this moment leave you. Do not let this moment pass you by. We serve an awesome, awesome God. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. I'm talking to the men that have been sexually abused and haven't told anybody because I'm too much of a man to tell anybody. But I've been walking around like I'm strong. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to those who nobody will understand.